Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you. Good morning. That walk up to the platform was just helping me get my steps in. I think I looked at my step counter the other day because I'm on holidays. If you couldn't tell by what Roma shared about me earlier, I do quite a number of things. So downtime is downtime. So I think my step count was like 200 or something. So just trying to up it today, get back into the swing of things before I head home. Thank you so much for having me. I'm deeply honored to be here and sharing the word of the Lord with you this morning. You guys are so blessed to call Australia home. This is a beautiful nation with a beautiful people that my heart aches for. Since I was in kinder, I used to tell my kinder teacher, I don't need to learn that. I don't need to take that note home. I'm moving to Australia. And my teacher went to my mom and was like, should we be preparing for her to, like, you know, are you guys leaving? Are you guys moving? My mom goes, no, she's just weird. We don't know where she got it from. Like, she just never mind her. But years later, here I am. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much. God, that we don't have to beg or plead for you to show up, but that you're already here. All we have to do is lean in and take a breath and take a moment. So thankful, Jesus, that your heart is to love us. Thank you, Lord, for your love, for your voice, for your guidance. We're so thankful, Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want us to lean into being positioned to prosper. It is the first Sunday of the new year, if you didn't notice, or hadn't looked at a calendar because you've been on holidays. It is the start of 2025. And I don't know what you've been through or what this year has held for you. I know it's been a lot for a lot of people. And me in particular, I've had a pretty hectic 2024. So coming home to Australia to have a rest was top priority for me. And this was just a perfect time to come. But I want for us to recognize that in 2025, it can be an in all things year for us as believers and as friends. I want to start in first by apologizing to our screens person. I was a media director at a church for a number of years, so I'm going to be hopping around, and I'm, bless you. So we'll start in Daniel chapter 3, and it won't pop it up just yet, but this is easily one of my favorite stories. This is the story, if you don't know, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Jewish men who were appointed to they were appointed to a place of leadership in Babylon. So there's the setup of the story is King Nebuchadnezzar, who was not a super kind guy, had built this massive golden image, and he had made a decree that everyone in the land need worship this image at a sound of any music. And he lists a lot of instruments, and I'm not going to do that to you right now. But he lists all these instruments, right? And he's like, if anybody doesn't do this, we're going to throw them in a fiery furnace. Cool? Everybody got it, right? And so that was the thing, right? That was the thing. Everybody, you hear the sound of the da 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 or any kind of music, and you worship this golden image that was massive. Then some guys took it upon themselves to go and tattle on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and let them know that these men would not bow. This made the king furious, and he said, well, get them here. I'm paraphrasing. He said, get them here real quick because I want to have a word with them. The king gave them, when they brought these three men to the king, the king gave them an option to try again. And he said, well, you know, you can still bow right now, right? He had a little bit of mercy. But this is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, and we'll pick up in verse 16. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. This made King Nebuchadnezzar extra mad. And he ordered that the furnace be made hotter. The furnace was so hot that, the story goes on to say, that the furnace was so hot that the men who were putting Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they bound them, they were putting them into the fire, and it was so hot, the men putting them in were killed. They were killed, fell down, and so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the fire. But then they were walking around. And we'll pick back up in verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not any power over the bodies of those men. The hair on their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Have you guys ever been to a campfire, a little burnout, and your hair, I don't know, girls, if your hair smells like fire after and you have to wash it two or three times to get the smell out, and you weren't even in the fire, it just went past you? These men were in the fire and they couldn't even smell it on them. How many of us have lit a barbecue and singed the hairs on our arms, right? Maybe our eyebrows. I won't say that I have, but whoops. I let my brothers do that now. So then this prompted Nebuchadnezzar to say, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own god. A couple things stick out to me here in this story. And first is these men stood firm on their faith and made the declaration, but if not. So Roma shared a little bit of my Australia story, and for years before I even came out here, I had met with some prophets and leaders who were giving me prophetic words that were saying, you're going to live in Australia, and you'll have a ministry in Australia, and we see the nation of Australia over you and the flag of Australia, and I had visions of me walking into maps and things and words for this nation, having never stepped foot in it yet. And when my visa expired and there were no options to stay and I felt like a failure, I went home and for months I was devastated and I thought I did something wrong. And every time I would pray, I was like, God, what did I miss? What did I do wrong? I served, I gave, I did everything you asked me to do. I was obedient, God. Why can't I live there? What happened? Where did I go wrong? And I remember one day I was so frustrated. I sat at my desk and I took out every prophetic word and I laid it out on my desk and I looked over all of them and not one of them said for the rest of your life. Not one. But I didn't notice that until I prayed and I sat and I said, Lord, even if I never step foot in Australian soil again, you are still good and your word is still true. And I believe you and I trust you. And that's when it unlocked for me. Not one word said for the rest of your life. I said for the rest of my life. It is so easy for us, friends, to add to what the word of God says. That when our hope is deferred, even in a God dream, it makes our hearts sick. Living in Australia was a God dream for me. It was a calling on my life, but my heart and my hope were in the call, not in He who makes it happen. That was a wake-up call. That was a wake-up call. Our first position to prosper this year is to be positioned to stand. To stand in the even ifs. God, even if it doesn't turn out the way I hope, my hope is still in you. 2024 didn't turn out the way that I hoped. We kicked off the year with one of my youth boys passing away to cancer on Valentine's Day. After prayer meetings and worship nights and hearing in my youth boys, hearing the word of the Lord that Caleb would be healed and go back into remission. We called him Caleb the healed one because that's who he was and who he is still today. But standing in even if, while watching young boys, 13 years old, grieve the loss of their best friend, that was hard. Getting to a place where I can say, God, no matter what I don't understand here, I understand that you are good and that your word is true and that I can stand on you. No matter the circumstance. Our first position is to be positioned to stand. No matter what. Even if. In this story, we also see that the men still address the king with honor. They do not dishonor the king. They still address him by his title. And they answer his question truthfully. To not answer truthfully is to be dishonoring. They don't appease the king and compromise. They state clearly where they stand on the matter, for them, even to a death sentence. There is no compromise in standing. This year, while choosing to stand firm, know that the blessing of unwavering faith is that there's a fourth man in the fire. God is with you. He is with you. He is for you. We are to stand on God's word in 2025, far more than we have before. To stand on his promises, and to let his love guide and guard us as it does. Our second position is to be positioned in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving unlocks our hearts. And in the Bible, in the Hebraic understanding of heart, how this is written here, in the Bible, the heart is considered the seat of life or strength. It means your mind, your soul, your spirit, or one's entire emotional nature and understanding. That's a lot. So when the Bible says to guard our hearts, for from it springs our life, it's not saying don't have a crush on somebody, you know? Sorry, I'm a youth and young adults pastor, so I tend to lean towards the younger crowd. But how many of us have heard that scripture, guard your heart, don't have a crush on somebody, don't awaken love before it's time? But that's not entirely it. Guard your heart because that's how your life goes. And your heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is how you think. Our senior pastor has this thought model that we talk about pretty often, and it is your thoughts become your feelings, become your actions, become your reality. That's why the scripture urges us to guard our hearts. It becomes our reality. How many of us, talking to the teens here, and really everybody, have had the thought before, my friends are mad at me, and they don't like me. I don't know what I did. And then you think that, and you think that, and you think that, and you think that, and you think that. And if you're an overthinker like me, you think over it again. And then you start to kind of believe it, and it becomes what you feel. I feel like my friends are mad at me. And how you feel becomes your actions, and you see your friends and you're like, oh, they're kind of annoyed with me. I better not, you know, address them or say hi to them. I better give them space. And how many of you have had a friend who's kind of acted like that and you're like, I'm not mad at you at all. Where is this coming from? What is happening? What did I do? But maybe you missed a text message. Or maybe you said you couldn't hang out that day. And so that spiraled into this thing. And then you become this person who nobody really wants to be around because you're just kind of Debbie Downer. Sorry, Debbie's in the room, if there's any. Hate to break it to you. Your name is just, it's a good rhyme. But that's the truth of the matter, is you start to think and you mull over, but the scripture tells us to think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are true. Think of things that are holy and pure. My friends being mad at me is not something to meditate on. But maybe meditate on, how am I a good friend? How can I be a good friend? And that changes, it shifts your reality and your perception. But thanksgiving is something that unlocks our hearts. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it challenges us to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Say it with me, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. With thanksgiving, in every situation. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many of us in this room have been, and myself included, have been in a space where you're like, God, I just want to know your will for my life. What do you want me to do, God? What he wants you to do is to give thanks in all circumstances. That's his will. He wants you to pray continually. That's his will for your life. Don't get stuck on what career path I need to take and am I doing the right thing and should I go to these shops or should I go to these shops and what church should I go to? No, it's pray continually. It's give thanks in all circumstances. Because when you do those things, you're acting in God's will and you are guided by his love. You are connected to the one who knows all things and has all things in his hand for you. The will of God is for us to pray and be in his presence continually. To give thanks in all circumstances, not just the ones that feel good, not just the ones where there's breakthrough, not just the ones where we see a miracle, because the miracle is his love. The miracle is the cross, that the resurrected Christ has through baptism, we have been co-crucified, co-buried, and co-resurrected. And that's enough. That's the miracle. That's enough for me. When we position ourselves in thanksgiving, we're performing heart maintenance. Just like your car needs an oil change, just like the transmission needs a tune-up, just like your coffee machine at home needs to be have general maintenance, which when I left Australia, I bought an espresso machine because, good Lord, America, come on with your coffees. Let me tell you, it is a lot. First thing I did when I got here was I walked directly to a cafe. Said, flat white, please. We're performing heart maintenance with thanksgiving. Paul tells us to be thankful in all circumstances. And the challenge of thankfulness is in the blessing of thankfulness. It's leaning into God to find him in the midst of pain, uncertainty, fear, in joy, in peace, in all circumstances. The night Caleb passed, I had zero intention of talking about him today, but the night Caleb passed, it was Valentine's Day, and I'm also a baker, and I made these cookie packs for some people, so I was out delivering them, and he had been in hospital for a number of months. We knew it was sort of nearing the end, it looked like, but we were still praying and standing and believing. And I delivered the last cookie pack and got in my car, and the Lord said, go park outside the hospital. And I said, no thanks. I don't want to go there. LA traffic, if you know, you know. So I said, okay, Lord, if it's less than 20 minutes away, I'll go. So I checked the map, and it was 19 minutes away, of course, from where I was. I was like, oh, wonderful. So I drove and I parked just outside the hospital and didn't tell anybody I was there. I just put on a worship song that I had been using to war with, really, and had it on repeat in my car, and I was declaring and declaring, and then all of a sudden I felt the Lord say, you don't have to do that anymore. And I got mad. I said, yes, I do. I will not relent. I will not. And I started saying, Caleb, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. And the Lord said, you don't have to do that anymore. And I, all of a sudden, my car was filled with the peace of the Lord. And all I could do was give thanks. In a moment that I thought, it was devastating, and still is, but in the moment that I thought there's no way I could give thanks, I was thankful to God that he took me there. I was thankful to God that he let me know. I was thankful to God that he was with me in the car and that he brought peace in a place where I needed peace. That the Lord was so good that he would put me in a position of peace because I had to lead young boys through processing the grief of losing their best friend. I had to lead in a community, and this young boy is a son of one of our pastors on our team. And we have a team of 13 all up. So it's a small team, very close. The beauty of God is that thanksgiving shifts our perspective. The challenge of being thankful brings us to a place of peace. no matter the circumstance. The circumstance wasn't great. It wasn't what I believed to be God's best. But when we position ourselves in thanksgiving, it changes things. And it prepares you for even the hardest things. And finally, we position ourselves in preparation. And I want to talk about the story of the parable of the 10 virgins and found in Matthew 25. And I'll quickly read through that. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came out also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. We can't plan our future. We can't plan much of what happens to us. And that's true for everyone, not just for some. All we can do is prepare to deal with it when it rolls in. It's vital to prepare for both blessing and calamity. A blessing can break you if you're not prepared for it. A blessing can break you if you're not prepared for it. You can find blessing in calamity if your eyes are fixed on the one who can and does work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That's you. You can find blessing in calamity. He is the one who holds all things. When we position ourselves to be thankful, to prepare, we position ourselves in a way that I want to be in God's way. I want to be on the path, like Roma was sharing earlier, that train track. I want to be on the track of what God is doing. And if it takes me leaning in for a moment, let me lean in for a couple moments. Preparation. So I've been in ministry since I was 17 years old in full-time vocational ministry, which now I'm not going to give you how many years that is. Pretty close to 20. It's a long time. So in 2010, early 2010, I was in the middle of a kind of a life transition from where I had been to who knows where. And the Lord, I had some shifts, and some friends had given me words that were like really woke me up to what was going on in my world. And in 2010, I went to this church in LA that some friends of mine at the time were like, hey, let's go to this church. They have something called Encounter Night. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And I went, and it was a worship night, and this woman got up on the stage, and she gives a word, and I saw her and immediately was like, that's what I meant to do. I meant to be one who delivers the word of the Lord. And I watched her. I watched Jen deliver the word. And I was like, God, is that why I came here tonight? And the Lord said, yes. And I was like, okay. So from that point on, I would listen to sermons, and I would, you know, just kind of, you know, listen to sermons, and then I'd write a sermon, and then I'd take notes, and I'd do things, and then I went to ministry school, and I really studied, and then that's where I met Roma, and then I came to Australia, and then I did all, and I went back, and then I was youth pastoring at the church I was at when I met Roma, and I was running the media department, and the cafe, and the graphics team, and the, you know, my name plaque. I was really in a contest to get the most titles on my name placard. And then all of a sudden, the Lord, in the middle of 2021, said it's time to go back to LA. I had no job. My family is from Los Angeles. I was living in Northern California at the time. And I was like, wait, I'm really happy here. I have a voice. I have a voice. I'm being trained. I'm being equipped. I have friends. I'd been there for 11 years at that point, with the mission as my home base. And I was like, Lord, that's a silly thing to ask me to do, to leave. So I looked back at some prophetic words, and it was time for me to, what the main thing was, is it was time for me to stop serving another man's vision and to walk into my own. And the Lord said to me, when I asked again, because I asked several times, I was like, are you sure? I asked again, the Lord said to me, here you will always be a daughter, but I've called you to become the mother I need you to be. So without a job and owning my car and my coffee machine, because hallelujah, I packed up and I moved back home in with my little brother and his family, who were, he and his wife had been together, or well, now wife, had been together since year 7. And they're now in their 30s, and I was living with them, and they had their kids, and they bought their home. And when I got into their home, my brother was like, you know, I prayed, God, let me just be a light to my family, because that's what I'm moving home for. So the preparation was to go and just be with my family. And my brother was like, you know what? I need to marry Emily. I need to be right with the Lord. And so they went and got married, and I was like, oh, after all this time, great, praise God. So anyway, 6 months of sort of resting, and I was working with some friends, I was managing their homes, and just working about 15 hours a week, and it was beautiful, and I was so thankful, but I was also kind of like, what am I doing, you know, but I needed to rest. And then I had this series of people ringing me one week, and they said, have you been to Expression 58 yet? And I was like, no, I'm just kind of resting. I'm going to this church that my friends are going to here and there. But no, I haven't been. And it was 4 days of that. Random people calling me and asking me, have you been to Expression 58 yet? And I said, no, but I'll go next Sunday. and then I had a dream. And in the dream, I won't bore you with the details, but in the dream, the former youth pastor had gotten out of a car and come to me and said, I've been waiting to meet you. And I said, in my head, I was like, we've met several times. We know each other. but out of my mouth, I said, I've been waiting to meet you too, and I didn't know it. So he said, let me and my dad take you for a ride in this car. So I hop in the car, we go. I wake up, I ring my old housemate, and I'm like, had this dream. And she's like, that feels significant. Write it down. I said, yep, I'm going to hang up and write it down. I hung up and opened Instagram. as you do. So I hung up, opened Instagram, and I was kind of scrolling, and I was like, man, Lord, what do you want to say? And you know how sometimes Instagram auto-refreshes, right? Instagram auto-refreshed on me, and I was reading a cool post. I was like, oh, I like this post. I was going to like it. Double tap. And then all of a sudden it refreshes, and the first thing up is a post from Expression 58, which I hadn't seen. My algorithm hadn't brought up in a long time. Good old algae. Hadn't brought up in a long time. And it's this post from Expression 58, now hiring youth and young adults pastor. I ring my friend back, and I'm like, I got a problem. I screenshotted it, sent it to her, and she's like, you need to do something about this. So I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna hang up. And so I actually wrote down the dream. And I called the senior pastors I had served before and let them know. And I think I texted Roma too. And I was just like, this is everything that's happening. Oh my gosh. But it was the years of preparation and writing sermons, even when I didn't have a platform. Even when I was just serving the media department and doing slides on the screens and filling in when all my volunteers called out, right? Even when I was in the cafe, just loving people by serving a coffee and training youth how to run a register, because what is going on in American schools that kids can't count? I also can't count, but thank you, Siri. She's a helpful little lady. I do have one of my youth girls who's like, Pastor, when I try to count kids, she's like, you can't count. She just takes over and counts for me. It's wonderful. I am an artist. I'm not a mathematician. So anyway, I end up 6 months later, oh, 8 months later, getting the role of youth and young adults pastor at Expression 58 and serving the woman I saw lead 10 years ago, in 2010. Amazing. And not only that, I am the pastor to all three of her children. Wow. And isn't it God to set you up decades before? Do not give up on a dream because you haven't seen it come to pass, but instead prepare like the virgins. We don't know when God's going to move. We can't add to it like I did when I said for the rest of my life. But our position to prepare is what's going to set us up for the future. I would have never been anywhere near ready for this role if I hadn't prepared, if I hadn't done the hard yards behind the scenes. You're not seen right away, but you know who sees you is the God who sees. And you know the first person to name God in the Bible was a slave woman who was pregnant out of wedlock by a man who wasn't her husband, who was coerced by her boss, which, hello, HR, I mean, I'm sorry, HR, that's a problem, who was running away, a woman, the least likely to be seen in that society, was the first person to name God in the Bible. And she named him the God who sees. The epidemic today that I see in our youth and our young adults is the need to be seen and heard. They're hungry for the authentic. Social media is so fake. It's not real. Mine is, all I've done is post coffees, and that's real. That's all I've been drinking is coffee. I gotta get buckets in before I go back. But at the end of the day, it's just that. It's to be seen and known by God. And he sees and knows you. God could have had anybody name him. He first named himself as creator. He showed himself as creator. And then he showed himself as the God who sees. In this moment, I want to give you a couple ways. I know I'm a little bit over time, but I want to give you a couple ways to prepare for whatever rolls your way. Number one is to hydrate. Like Rohan was talking about earlier, it's like we're on the same wavelength or something. It's like we know the same God. To hydrate. His voice is a sound of many waters, and just as water is vital to our bodies physically, hearing and moving at the sound of his voice is vital to our spirits. Get hydrated, guys. Immerse yourself in his voice. Listen for him. Warm up. Like an athlete, like a singer, like a musician. Anything you do in practice, you need to warm up. You hurt yourself if you're not warmed up. The warm-up is spending time with the Lord. And I have this saying, and I have it written out in my room. And I painted kind of a image of this to see you first thing when I wake up. And it says, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. The first thing I want in the morning is the presence of the Lord to smack me in the face. Give me Jesus. I don't want anything else. Maybe coffee later, but give me Jesus. The third is to exercise or practice. Implement spiritual practices like prayer, fasting, meditate on his word. Statio is a spiritual practice. It means station or to pause. And in your day, pause and lean in and say, God, I know you're here. Thank you. Thank you that you're here. Don't overthink it. The easy thing to do in preparation when you don't know what you're preparing for is to overthink, overspend, and overcommit. But ask yourselves, what's in your hands? What's in your hands? What do I have in front of me? If I say, I can't feel you, God, then I need to take a breath. Because if I can sing songs that say, you're the breath in my lungs, then I can feel him. Reshift. What's in your hands? And just before our altar call, I'd like to have you guys just take a moment and close your eyes, both feet flat on the ground. Posture yourselves for just a second. Take in a deep breath and let it go slow. And ask the Lord, because all of us can hear from him. Close your eyes if you need to limit distraction. What aspect, God, of your character and nature do you want to illuminate in and through me this year? Who do you want to be for me? And this morning, if you feel ready to prepare for the next year and to let go of what was behind you, I had a vision just before I came here to Australia, and I was praying and asking the Lord, you know, what would you say, God? And ahead of me, I was taken up into this vision, and ahead of me was a harvest. And the sun hadn't quite risen yet, but the sky was glowing and warm. But behind me, I still felt the cold of the night. But the Lord said, step into the warmth of the harvest that's coming. And I believe that for you today, Pneuma Church, that ahead of you is the warmth. Even though we can still feel the bitter cold on our backs, let us face towards the sun. And this morning, if you still feel the bitter cold on your back, would you stand? So we can face towards the sun together. Thank you, Jesus. If you're ready to step into the harvest for 2025, I just want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand, believers, this morning? God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the light of your Son. I thank you for the harvest that you bring to us, Lord. We need only to turn and face you, Jesus. Lord, I bless your name in this place. Lord, we honor you and we thank you. And Father, for those who still feel the bitter cold on their back, Lord, I pray now that they be so filled with your presence and the light of your love, Lord, that the bitter cold become a distant memory. God, you are so good. God, you are so good. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your love, for who you are. We thank you for your light, for your goodness, Jesus. Father, we declare blessing and breakthrough over 2025. We set ourselves up, Lord, in a way that we would watch you move in powerful ways, God, no matter the circumstance and in all things. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for having me, friends. It's good to be here.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.